Good morning, New Hope Church. Whether you've joined us online or you're in person today, we're so excited that you are here. For those of you who don't know, my name is Sam Price. I'm the director of student ministry here at New Hope Church, which means I run our student ministry program for 6th through 12th graders. Today we have a movie called Elemental. And maybe you're wondering and you're thinking, we've gone through a bunch of different movies. Who's the star of this movie? Maybe it's Harrison Ford or Tom Hanks, or maybe it's even Tom Holland. Well, actually, no. This movie is an animated cartoon movie, which just came out this year around June. And yes, there will be some points for our kids today in the audience, but I want to dig deeper into those points as well, because this movie and message isn't just for our kids here. It's not just for our teenagers, it's for everyone, including adults. To introduce the movie, in an element city, fire, water, land, and air residents live together, but very, very separately. Ember is a spirited and tough young woman from the fire community. She wants to make her father proud, but often erupts into anger because of her annoyance with others. Ember's unlikely friendship with Go With The Flow guy from the water community challenges her perceptions. Wade shows her a different way to view people from all walks of life, one based out of love instead of animosity. Our first point today is God gave us emotions. Sometimes those emotions do get the best of us. Today we're going to be looking at the emotion of anger. So kids in the audience, if you want, you can grab a piece of paper in front of you and draw what you think anger looks like. What does anger look like to you? While you do that, we can watch our very first clip on the screen.
Do it.
Ashva, customer.
How about you take it today?
For real? How can I help you?
All of this and the... Oh, the sparklers are buy one, get one free?
That's right.
Great. I'll just take the free one.
Oh, no, see, you need to buy one to get one free.
But I just want the free one.
Sorry, that's not how this works.
But the customer is always right.
Not in this case.
Nope. 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 Nope.
Just give me one for free!
That's not how this...
Oh! Happy birthday!
What just happened? Why you lose temper?
I don't know. He was pushing and pushing and it just...
Oh, calm, calm. Sometimes customer can be tough. Just take breath and make connection. When you can do that and not lose temper, then you will be ready to take over shop.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that next time when it's... I'm at a grocery store and it's buy one, get one free, like Snickers bar. I'm going to try to see if I can steal one of those or take one of those and see how that works out. But you see, Ember lives in a city full of people that are different than who she is. And because no one really fully understands her or gets her, she gets really frustrated pretty quickly. And we saw in this video, it came to a point where at the very end, she just blew up at her customer, and her father teaches her an important lesson. If you want to be less angry, try to make a connection with everyone. So let's see how making a connection works out for Ember in this next clip.
This is too expensive, and that is not made in Fireland.
Take breath, make a connection. Take breath, make connection.
Take breath, make connection.
Take breath, make connection.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry, sorry.
She almost went full purple. I've never seen anyone go full purple.
Sorry, everyone.
Oh, please forgive my daughter. She burned bright, but sometimes too bright, eh? Nice hat, by the way. Let me make you a new batch.
On the house.
Okay. Sorry, Ashva. I don't know why that one got away from me.
Oh, you are tense because of Big Red Dot sale tomorrow. It has us all in a broil.
I guess. It's just some of these customers, they get me all...
I know. Just do what we practice. You're so good at everything else.
You're right. I'll get it. I just want you to rest.
That's definitely a great clip right there. Sometimes our circumstances can cause us to be angry, right? Ember struggles with her annoying customers asking the same question, or she just gets annoyed by that, and so she can't keep her cool. What are some circumstances in your life that tend to lead you to be angry? Maybe for some of you in this room, you get really, really mad when your brother or your sister steals your favorite toy, right? And they steal it, they take it, and even worse, when they return it, it's damaged or ruined. Maybe you get really angry or upset when mom or dad tells you you have to sit at the dinner table until you finish your whole entire meal. Others in this room, right, might get angry or annoyed or even upset when your boss walks in on Friday afternoon and says you have to finish a huge project before Monday at 9 a.m. And now the whole entire weekend is dedicated to working on this project when really all you wanted to do was relax. The list can go on and on and on. What circumstances leave you frustrated, angry, or upset? I often make the journey down to Richmond to visit my beautiful fiance, and if you've ever made the drive down 95 to Richmond area, you know what happens when you hit Fredericksburg. And if you haven't, well, you probably guessed it, loads and loads and tons of traffic, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, man, I really don't want to be in this traffic. I've sat here all day, I'm just sitting, I'm in standstill traffic, and I start to get angry. And I started to get frustrated. And really, there comes to a point where I was thinking about this when I was writing this message. I don't even know who I'm angry at. I'm just angry. And to make it worse, that person driving a certain car cuts you off, and that just never helps myself calm down either. Right? Anger is one of the human emotions that causes so much problems in our world. People don't get into fights because they're happy. They get into fights because they're angry with each other. People say all the time, don't bring up politics at the dinner table or at Thanksgiving, because it's not going to be a nice conversation. It's going to turn out with people being angry and upset. Anger can cause so many harmful effects. When looking at Psalms, I think we can learn a lot from one of this popular verse. It comes from Psalms chapter 103, verse 8. And it'll be on the screen. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. As Christians, we throw around the world the word and phrase Christ-like, or what would Jesus do? This is exactly what that would look like. To be gracious, to be compassionate, slow to anger, and loving. But I know this isn't easy. It's pretty tough. Because if it was easy, the world would be in a better place. Let's see how Ember takes advice from Psalms chapter 103 in this next clip.
Take a breath. Calm as a candle.
Morning. Welcome to the fireplace.
Same. Just take one from the top. Thanks for shopping.
So many stickers for sale.
Are these fragile?
Wait! Yeah. You have to pay before you eat.
What's your return policy? Is this coming alive?
Take breath.
Yeah,
make connection.
Mind if I pass this camel?
Be back in 5 minutes.
Thank you.
is wrong with me?
You see, Ember really, really tried to keep her cool. And after a bunch of customers were asking her about different things, she exploded again. Her temper really gets the best of her this time and actually causes damage to the shop. Our words and our actions, if it keeps on building and building and building, it can cause a bunch of damage not only to other people around us, but also to ourselves. Sometimes it just takes patience. And like I said, Ember was really misunderstood, and she felt understood. I look back to Jesus' life. I believe Jesus was the most misunderstood person who walked the earth. And this is why the Jewish people, his own community, thought he was going to be a physical king. They thought that he was going to throw the Roman Empire and take the Roman Empire down. The Pharisees that were in the Bible and Scripture thought he was a fraud, someone who just knew Scripture really, really well. Even some of his closest friends thought Jesus was someone that he wasn't. And Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16, I think shows this perfectly here, and it's on the screen. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." It does not say in this verse Jesus got mad at his own disciples for not understanding who the Son of Man was. It didn't say Jesus stormed away or pouted or blew up with temper, right? No, Jesus remains calm and continues asking, "Who do you say I am?" until Simon Peter answers him and figures it out. Jesus understood and probably was maybe a little bit frustrated in that moment, but understood how to keep calm. Let's watch our next scene.
"What's, man? He's been in such a funk because his mom has been sick. That is so not cool. He's doing his best.
We love you, man!
You see, Wade sees things differently than how Ember or some other people might see it. Instead of getting angry at his team or Luntz, he decides to show love and understanding in that very moment. He encourages Luntz and gets the whole crowd to start cheering, "We love you, Luntz." And Luntz starts to do better. I have a couple college buddies here today, and we all swam on the same swim team at Wheaton College. And during my junior and senior year, we made it to our championship meet. My junior year, we had a pretty good shot at winning the whole entire thing. So we came into the meet. We were all pumped. We were laser focused. We were ready to win. And a few races just didn't go our way on the very first day. And instead of reacting in a positive way, a lot of the team reacted in a negative way. And so we kept losing and losing and losing. And on the last day, we were totally out of the race. There was no coming back. Now, vice versa, during my senior year, we had no shot of winning at all. We started 100 points down. We didn't even have a full roster compared to other teams. And so we really just went into that swim meet with the mindset of let's just encourage each other and let's just have fun. So during that meet, we actually made up a bunch of points, and I think we were 7 points away from the lead on heading into the last day. Did we win at the end of the day? We didn't win. But at the same time, it was one of the most fun swim meets and fun times I've had with a bunch of friends who we just decided we're just encouraging each other, cheering for each other, standing up, watching each other's races. And that will also be one of my favorite moments as well. The point here is simple. Choose love instead of anger. And maybe you've rolled your eyes and you're thinking, Sam, that's such an easy point. Of course, I want to choose love instead of anger. That's a no-brainer, right? Sometimes, and I believe this, sometimes the things that we think are the easiest are the hardest to do. Let me say that again. I believe that sometimes the things that we think are the easiest are the hardest to do. Like when your sister or brother annoys you, or that classmate that you sit next to just gets on your nerves, or even your whole entire family is just, it's too much, they annoy you. Most of the time in those situations, we do not choose love over anger. Most of those times, just like Ember, we lash out at the people that are around us. In theory, it's really easy to choose love over anger, but to actually do it is very tough. James 1, chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 says this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. I think a lot of the times, though, I get that verse twisted up, and I do my own thing, right? I am quick to get angry. I am even slower to say, I'm sorry that I got angry. And I'm really, really slow to listen. But verse 20 says, human anger does not produce righteousness God desires. Let's go ahead and look at one of our last clips today.
Today, I pass it on to you.
I thought of other reasons.
Wade?
Oh boy.
What are you doing here?
You said me not understanding is the reason we can never work. But I thought of other reasons. A bunch of them. Like, number one, you're fire, I'm water. I mean, come on, that's crazy, right? Who is this?
No idea.
Number two, I'm crashing your party. Like, what kind of a jerk am I?
A pretty big one.
Right? Number three, I can't eat your delicious foods. Very unpleasant.
We didn't know him. He is food inspector.
Oh, right. Number four, I'm banned from your father's shop. There are a million reasons why this can't work. A million no's. But there's also one yes. We touched. And when we did, something happened to us. Something impossible. We changed each other's chemistry.
See, during the movie, Ember and Wade, they start to develop a friendship. But he is water and she is fire. So you can imagine how difficult that relationship could be. They can't eat each other's foods. When they visit each other's houses, Wade's house is a big swimming pool because it's full of water, and Ember's house is really, really hot for Wade. But in the end, they touch. They both think it's going to actually kill each other because water and fire don't mix well together ever, but it actually changes them. The point here is when we really love and make connections with people, we see others for who they really are. It's far more difficult to be angry with others when we make a connection with them. Have you ever realized how easy it is to talk behind somebody's back when they're not there? Or to say something not as nice over text message or over the phone, or even when I'm on 95 driving down in the middle of the traffic? It's so much easier to be mad, especially with people that we don't know. But when we're friends with them, when we made that connection and have developed that relationship with someone, even if we don't agree with them, it's a lot more difficult to be angry or hateful. But this also requires us to make that connection. So Mark chapter 12, 30 through 31 says this, "And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength." The second is equally important. It's love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. But how many people can truly say that they physically know their neighbor? And I'm not just saying that we know their names, that we know they like to plant flowers or what cars they might drive. Do we know them as a person? Have we made that connection with them as a person? Do we know where they've come from? What they like, what they don't like, maybe what they're interested in, maybe even their love language so we can love them better. I have a neighbor right now. I know her name. I know she likes to do renovation to her condo at very strange times, sometimes on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., sometimes in the evening times, and it's really loud. But I do know she likes to put in new hardwood floors or new blinds or new carpets, but I don't truly know who she is. Making connections is tough, so moreover, how many people can say they've made connections with people within their circle, at school, at work, even here at church? You see, even I want to challenge myself here today. I'm an introvert, which means I'm a little bit more reserved than outgoing. And so I want to challenge myself to make those connections both within my circle and out of my circle. So let's look at our final clip that we have here today.
It's too hot in here.
Climb! Back up, back up! I have to open that up.
The water will come in and you'll be snuffed out.
But you're evaporating. I don't know what to do.
It's okay.
No, it's not okay.
Ember, I have no regrets. You gave me something people search for their whole lives.
But I can't exist in a world without you. I'm sorry I didn't say it before. I love you, Wade.
I really do love it when your light does that.
Sorry to cut off there. If you want to see the movie, I think it's still out in theaters. It's definitely coming to streaming platforms. I bought it on Apple TV to see how the end goes. But now Ember and Wade, they know each other now. They have a close relationship and they care about each other. But they're still two very different people. Having a relationship with Ember hasn't made Ember less fire or Wade less water. they love each other. They would sacrifice anything for each other. This is how Jesus says that people will know that we are his followers, by the way we love each other. The greatest love is to give up something for someone else. What would be something that you'd be willing to give up for a friend or someone you love? Jesus, for us, gave up his life. And because he loved us so much, he did this so we could follow him and we could have a relationship with him. He modeled what real love looks like. Jesus says that because of his great love for us, he sacrificed himself for us so we could follow him. And like Wade was willing to give up everything for Ember because he loved her, Jesus gave up his life because he loves you and me. If you want to love people like Jesus does, the first step is to make a connection. For some people, that's really easy to do. They look like us. They act like us. They eat the same thing as we do. They believe in what we believe in. With those people, it's easy for us to make a connection with. For others, it's something a little more difficult. They act differently. They like different things that we like. They believe differently than we do. When that happens, it's a lot easier for us to be angry, upset, and turn them away. It's easy to talk bad about them or to be even more hateful, but that's not what we are called to do. Instead, we should take a breath and make a connection. Mostly, we should love them like Jesus loved us first. Love has been laid out for us. It's been modeled for us already. We don't need to have podcasts or books that are written 2023 or movies or even this message to know what love looks like, because we have it written down in the Bible. We can look at the first few chapters even of John. We can look at towards back of Jesus' life to truly know what it looks like to truly love those around us. So this week at school, at work, with your friends, with your family members, even with people outside of your circle, will we love them? Will we choose to make a connection with them? Will we choose love? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the wonderful weekend, the beautiful weather. For those who are traveling, may you keep them safe and blessed that they can come back next weekend. Father God, we're praying that we would make connections with others this week, that we would learn to love each other, to love those around us, and give us opportunities to reach out to others that might not be in our immediate circle. In Christ's name, amen.